and I know whom I have believed. And we know that that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so I've been encouraged today. Now, I'm going to you turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. That's where I'll be looking for the message today. Now, the message I'm going to be bringing today is probably for me, probably more than it is for anybody else. We live in troublesome times. We live in discouraging times. And we as the elect of God and the children of God and the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we get caught up into our society, into the world in which we're in. We know that Jesus told us there in John that we are not of the world, but we are in the world. So the world does affect us. And that's the reason that we need to be strong in the faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the title of my message today is, Why Serve God? Why Serve God? Malachi chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 13 through 18. Now we're going to see here that there's two different groups of people here. Verses 13 through 15. Now we know that the Lord has sent the prophet Malachi to rebuke. We find in chapter 1 that he rebuked the priest because that they were doing things that they shouldn't do according to the purpose and the plan of God in polluting the worship of God and the altars of God. They were putting blemished animals on the altar to represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as they sacrificed. But we know that he was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world without spot, without blemish. So they were polluting the altar and the worship of God. And so he was reprimanding them for that. And in the day and the time which we live, we, the new word now is the woke society. Now, whatever that is, but I think what it is, and according to what we'll find out here in Malachi, is that the scripture says in the last days that they will be saying that good is evil and evil is good. And in this woke thing is that they say that they will accept anything goes. It don't make no difference what it is. Anything goes. They call the right wrong and wrong right. So we'll see here, and look with me in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 17 to start with. It says, Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet, you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? You know, the scripture, it said that they would say in the last days, well, things are still going on just like they are, says, No difference in what they used to be. And these people here are saying here that evil is good, good is evil, and God has delight in them. And they were mocking God and says, well, where is the God of judgment? So that's the day and the time in which we are living today. Now, back to verse 13 of chapter 3 of Malachi. You words have been styled against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have you spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Well, they're saying here, what profit is it that we serve God, that we keep his ordinances, his commandments, and that we walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness, they are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. You know, they're saying, people saying, well, you know, the psalmist had a problem with that. And he says, I was disturbed about the wicked being prosperous. And he was saying, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I realized what the end of the wicked is or is going to be. So, sometimes we have to be careful that we lose sight of the eternal purpose of God. So we might ask, I might ask you, in your Christian life, do you ever get discouraged in serving the Lord? To the point that you feel that you just want to quit or give up? A recent survey that I looked at on the computer this week reveals that 85% of pastors say that they are weary of dealing with problem people. I tell you, you know, the Church of the Living God is a wonderful thing. But the problem is we have to deal with lost sinners. We have to deal with sinners and the problems that we have in communicating and living with them and about them. As I say, as we have problems with sin, we're going to always have problems with sin as long as we're in this body. But that's the reason it's so important that we keep our mindset on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So The old age-old subject. Why do the wicked prosper and the godly suffer? We should serve God because that he notices and causes deep cares deeply for all who serve him. Here in Malachi chapter 3, 13 through 15, we have a group that we'll call Group A that we need to avoid, that we don't need to be partakers with. They were grumbling against God, complaining that there is no reward for serving him. And you may as well be an arrogant, wicked person who tests God and escapes. The group B in Malachi 3:16 through 18 is the group that we should be identified with. These people feared God and esteemed his name. They encouraged one another to continue serving God in spite of the seeming prosperity of the wicked and suffering of the righteous. God takes special notice of them and promises that he will spare them in the day of judgment because that they are his special treasure. So first, let's look at some characteristics of this group A, verses 13 through 15. This group spoke arrogantly or harshly against the Lord. But when the prophet confronted them about it, they asked the question, "Wherein? Where have we spoken against you?" It says there, complain to one another, God notices all that we think or say. But these people were not God-oriented. And so they spoke brashly to one another, voicing their common complaints as if God were deaf and non-existent. You know, sometimes we may have that kind of attitude, which is not good, that we get the grumbling and the mumbling, and we forget the omnipresence of God, that he is always with us. Their complaint was, in Malachi 3:14, you have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Malachi 3:15 says, and now that we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. No consequences to sin. They're going to get away with it. They're going to be delivered. That's their attitude. Why serve God? They called the arrogant blessed and said that wicked people are not only built up, but they're also test God and escape. They get away with what they're doing. I want to look at four characteristics of this group of people. These people were sitting in judgment on God rather than submitting to his dealing with them. Whenever we grumble about our circumstances or our wrong treatment that we may have received, we are elevating ourselves above God. We're saying, in effect, that God, I can do better running this universe than you can. That's what happened to the children of Israel, wasn't it? When the Lord was bringing them out of Egypt, and they went a 3 days' journey, they was complaining to God, and in essence, what they were saying, Lord, I can do a better job than what you're doing. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. I'll begin reading with verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? Now Moses had a problem on his hand, didn't he? He had about a million folks here murmuring against him. I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, among of your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and the son of Jephthah and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you say shall be a prey, them will I bring, and to they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bury your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the numbers of the days in which they searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall they bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it in all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, that shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua and the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephthah, which were the men that went to search the land, lived still. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Whenever we grumble about our circumstances, we are imputing upon the character of Almighty God and exalting ourselves above Him. We're saying God doesn't really love us, or He would not let us be in this difficult situation. John Calvin stated, a quote, "But in the service of God, the chief thing is this, that men deny themselves and give themselves up to be ruled by God, and never raise a clamor when He humbles them." In the book of Daniel chapter 4, I want to read one verse of scripture. In verse 37 is concerning Nicodemus when the Lord humbled him, or Nebuchadnezzar. It says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and His ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, He is able to abase." We might ask ourselves, and we pride ourselves as Primitive Baptists, do we believe Romans 8:28? "For we know," that word "know," the Greek word for that word "know" is progenosko, is to know beforehand and to know for a surety, "that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions." A self centered person don't last long in the service of God. Philippians 1:29 says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake." That should be expected as us as the children of God if we understand the scriptures. That all our paths in the way of life that we're going to do and go through like the children of Israel did, we're going to go through some valleys and some mountains and through the wilderness. But that's where the Lord strengthens our faith, and that we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:14-15 says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We should perform ourselves to the point that is said in Matthew, I believe, that when they see our good works, they will glorify our Heavenly Father, which is in heaven. So these people here had a self-centered attitude. He said, "I have said," in verse 14 of Malachi 3, "it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" So they asked, what profit is it that we have kept his charge? What is it in it for us? They were grumbling, and God had not given them their fair share. You know, if we receive anything good from the hand of God, it is by the grace and the mercy of God, because we don't deserve anything from the hand of God. The flesh is inclined to self-pity, self-focused, and self-centeredness. And the world feeds these attitudes. That's the attitude that we see in our society today. Encouraging people to not to work. Don't have to work. Just hold your hand out and somebody will fill it up. If there's nothing in it for me, why do it? You can't worry about the needs of others. God understands. Your needs come first. That's the attitude of our society today. But that is not the Christian attitude that we are to have as a child of God. We need to be careful how that we present the gospel. If we preach it as, come to Jesus and he will meet your wishes. You know, I see a lot of prosperity preaching on the television. And it is that they don't preach about sin and the way that we should live and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, but they put emphasis on that God wants to bless you, wants to make you rich and all of these things. Now, I know that Jesus Christ and his elect, he will supply all of our needs by his riches, by the riches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. So, but we are not given the full picture. It is true, of course, that Jesus satisfies the deepest longings of every heart that trust in him. But he is not waiting to grant of our every wish or what we might desire. He does according and gives us according to his will and purpose and what is good for us and what is for his honor and his glory. While following Christ brings us deep and lasting joy, the path to that joy is daily self-denial and the cross, which are not immediately pleasant experiences sometimes. Sometimes we have to do like the prodigal son did one time. He had to go through the hog pen. Luke 9:23-24 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." So, these people had lost the motivation for holy living. Malachi 3:14. They asked, "What profit is it that we walk in mourning before the Lord of hosts?" Outwardly, they went through the motions, but they were not doing those things out of a heart of love and a devotion for Almighty God. You know, sometimes I look at myself, and like I said, I'm probably preaching to myself today more than I am anybody else. Because we like to have a pity party sometimes on ourselves. And we may just think it's what we should do. Come to church every Sunday out of a line of duty instead out of the love in our heart for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Motivation is everything when it comes to obeying and serving God. There was a story told that this elderly lady had two daughters. She was down and couldn't help herself, and the two daughters come to help. One daughter would come, and she would clean, and she would do things that she should do. The other daughter would come and do the same thing. And all of them did a good job. But the first one gave the attitude that she was doing it because it was a burden to her to have to do this. But the other daughter came and she did it and showed forth that she was doing it from the heart of a love that she had for her mother to help her. So those two people did the same job. They cleaned and made things shine and look good. But the difference was their devotion and their attitude. So it is with us with the service of God. You know, Jesus rebuked the church at Ephesus, and he says, you have done a lot of good things. You have persevered. You have endured for Christ's sake. But he had somewhat against you, said that you have left your first love. You know, in John 21:15-17, when Jesus was questioning Peter, after Peter had some problems there and come back, Lord, in John 21:15-17, and Jesus asked, said, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Yeah, Lord, I love you." He said, "Well, feed my lambs." Verse 16, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Well, feed my sheep." Verse 17, it says, "Peter, dost thou love me?" The third time, and it said Peter got upset about it. He got angry about it. He said, "Feed my sheep." That's a responsibility that we as the ministers of the gospel and members of one of the Lord's churches is to feed the sheep. That word "feed" there, I believe, is V-A-S-I-K-A, Vesca, means to put food in their mouth. That's something we are to put the good food of the Word of God in the mouth of the sheep of God. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself on the cross for me, should be the motive behind everything that I do for him. So this group to avoid was sitting in judgment on God. They had a self-centered attitude, and they had lost the motivation of love as the basis for holy living and service to God. So these people had focused on the seeming prosperity of the wicked, but had lost the eternal perspective. 1 Corinthians 15 and 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, if ye stand fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, quickly, let's look at group B from verses Malachi chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18, I believe it is. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So God notices and cares for those that who fear and serve him in spite of difficulties or hardships. This was a group that was most likely in the minority. Brother Herb mentioned that the Lord's churches and the Lord's people is usually not in a big number, normally. But in number, they were probably in the minority. But always, God has a faithful remnant that serves him in spite of the many difficulties. Note group B. Those who serve God are called righteous. And if you notice in verse 18, the group A that are called wicked, that serve him not. That is not to say that serving God earns the label of righteousness. We can do nothing to commend ourselves to God. Our righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is imputed to us as a gift of God's grace through the faith of Jesus Christ. But serving God is a distinguishing mark of the righteous person, whereas not serving God marks the wicked who lives for themselves. There's two groups, and only two groups. Either you have not trusted in Christ and you live for yourself, or you have been justified by faith in Christ, and now you live to serve him. Three characteristics that mark this group B. These people fear God and esteem His name above the opinion of others. Malachi 3:16. We find twice that these people feared God, and further added that they esteemed His name. Now this word esteem means to think upon, to meditate, to regard, or thus to set a value on something. A quote from John Bunyan: "The proper fear of God causes us to hate evil and to turn from it. We are out of balance if we emphasize God's love to the neglect of the fear that is due to His holy name." Proverbs 3 and 7 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate." Proverbs 16:6, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." You know, I believe that's the reason that people don't, and we don't serve God more than do, because we don't have the reverential fear of Almighty God and knowing who He really is, that will affect our living. So many pastors today fear what people think of them more than what they fear what God thinks of them. Fearing God gives us the courage to confront sin, even if people don't like us when we do it. These people encouraged one another in the face of surrounding evils. Malachi 3:16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and that and thought upon His name." So the thought, or the point here, is that we need fellowship with like-minded believers in order to stand firm against the wrong ideas that come to us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. If all you do is attend church and leave, but you don't fellowship with the other Christians during the week, you will struggle to maintain a godly perspective in the face of the evil around us. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25 says, Hebrews 10 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." God expects His people to serve Him through His church. And that is according to Ephesians 3:21, "That unto Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end." So fear God and encourage one another. These people are especially noticed and cared for by God in Malachi 3:16. The Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before. Now, the word "heard" means to bend over so as not to miss a word. You know, like you're eavesdropping on somebody. You know, God will eavesdrop on us sometimes. He'll lean forward, and so He'll be sure. But He don't miss a word. God hears and remembers everything said by everyone at all times. God reminds us that He is not forgetful of his children when he takes a stand for them or when they pay a price to serve him. God promises that they will be his own the day that he prepares his own possessions or treasures. He will spare them when he judges the earth as a man spares his own son who serves him. So God is assuring his people that he hears, takes notice of that which the world overlooks or despises. The world notices the powerful, rich, and famous. God notices those who fear him and serve him out of love. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered and do minister." There was a story told, and y'all probably have heard it, and I know Brother Hurd probably has and probably alluded to it, that this man, a missionary, and his wife was coming home from Africa after several years of service as missionaries. And they were aborting the boat. And they come to find out that President Theodore Roosevelt, the president, was on that boat, and he had been on a trip on a hunting expedition. He was a big hunter. And he was on there. And there's a lot of fanfare about the president being there. And when they arrived to the shores of New York, there was bands there. There was people there, dignitaries and all, to meet the president. Well, this couple got off the boat, and they went and found them a place to sleep that night and find them something to eat. And the man was discouraged. He was down. Because he and his wife had served the Lord for many years in Africa and had come home. And nobody noticed. But the president was getting a lot of fanfare. So after they ate supper that night, the wife told him, says, "Why don't you go into the bedroom and talk to the Lord about this matter?" Well, he did, and he was gone for a while, and he come back out, and he had a smile on his face. And his wife asked, "What happened?" And he said, "I went in and told the Lord the whole thing. I told him that it is not fair. I told him how that I was bitter because the president received his tremendous homecoming, but no one met us as we returned home. And you know, as I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and said simply, 'My child, you're not home yet. Why serve God?' Because he notices and cares for all who serves him." Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne, we come thanking, praising that you are God, and besides you there's none other. Heavenly Father, we do pray for the elect of God, the children of God, that in the churches of God, that we might not get discouraged in this sinful world in which we live, that we would look to you, depend upon you for all things. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And it says in his name that we